Blog Talk Radio.
Everything is going to be all right. You're listening to Tippy Talk. Time now to sit back, relax, listen, and enjoy the moment. Newborn is the official band that provides all the music for Tippy Talk. To hear more of the music, you can go to newbornband.com and enjoy the wonderful sound. And now it is time to step into the Tippy Zone, where we explore the other side of reality. Side that allows you to reshape your life, step into your power, and connect to the fact that we are all one. Welcome to Tippy Talk, where we go from where you are to where you want to be. I'm your host, Tippy Feldstein. Yes, hello everybody. Good morning is what I really want to say, because it is morning right now, but that does not mean that I don't wish you a good afternoon or good night or good whatever, wherever you are, whenever you are listening to this. This is the show where we are mostly talking about how to make your life better. How do you get to where you want to go? And that is why today is going to be about a topic that most of us really need to have in order to be able to focus on where we want to go, and that is we want to be comfortable and we want to know that everything at home is okay when we're out running around. And sometimes, especially when we run around all over the world and we leave the comfort of our own bed and our own home, it is kind of a little bit disturbing if nobody's home, or if you have pets at home, or if you have other people hanging around. You want to know that your place is safe. So how do you do that? How do you know that it's safe? How do you know that everything will be taken care of in an emergency, specifically in a fire or any other emergency? Our guest today has developed and is working with a technology to make sure exactly that. So that if you have pets at home that are alone, they no longer really have to be completely and totally alone, because it could be monitored. If you have an elderly who's sick or bedridden, like my mother that just got out of the hospital and is in a hospital bed, you want to know when you get out of the house that I know she's not capable of handling an emergency. And you want to know that everything is okay so that you can just focus on the way you really want to go. So let me tell you a little bit about our guest today. His name is Zolt Sappy, and if you cannot say that, you are okay to just call him Z. Z is been developing B2B and B2C organizations. And if you're not that knowledgeable about organizations like I'm not, B2B means business to business, B2C means business to consumer. He's been developing online trading platform and reward program for over 25 years, so he obviously knows what he's doing. He's been working at Global Exchange Network and developed one of the first online currency trading networks that connected Forex. If you guys haven't heard of Forex, it's online currency. Market makers with money managers and professional traders. Actually, I think Forex is foreign money. Not sure. We're going to have to ask him that. So he helped people build a nationwide dealer program and sales force of over 1,500 sales agents, promoting loss and prevention and digital surveillance systems. Zolt was responsible for launching the National Association of Installing Partners, and you're going to find out what that is, But let me explain. It's an interactive web portal providing lead generation programs for security installers all throughout the United States. Zolt also has been working with Ken Mara of Worldwide Security Group on several offerings relating to security and life safety systems, also including the current role of the SIM Smart Detector, which is the only patented smoke alarm that is battery powered and also remotely monitored by emergency operators. And they're using cellular network. Zolt has been quoted in all kinds of publications and it's been seen all over. But today we're very lucky to have him here. So I'd like to welcome you, Zolt or Z. Am I saying your name correctly? Welcome to Tippy Talk.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me today. And yes, Zolt, you got it right.
Yes. See, I know that when people mispronounce a name, it's probably one of the most painful things to hear. Always mispronounce my name. I don't like it.
You know, it's funny. When we moved here in 1979, both of my parents, they changed their names to the English version, but for whatever reason, they left my sister and I with our originals. So it was certainly interesting when you go to school. I think I was here for about a week before I went to first grade, and then trying to teach people how to pronounce your name when you don't even speak English. It was very interesting.
It's very interesting that they worried about their names being English so people won't have a problem, but left your name. That's really funny.
Our families that recommended it to them, you know, for work and everything else. But then the children, they're like, all right, keep their names. They're fine.
So where did you come from?
We're Hungarian. So we came from a part of Romania where it's still mostly Hungarians that live there.
I know. I heard that Romania and Hungary, I just actually heard that 2 days ago, they kind of intermingled at one point.
Yes. Well, you know, going back, looking at history, you had many parts of Hungary that were much bigger than they are today, and they were either absorbed or taken over, and now it's much smaller than it used to be. And part of that was on that Romanian-Hungarian border. So where we lived, it's still mostly Hungarians.
So did you grow up speaking Hungarian or Romanian?
Hungarian and German. So we did learn, obviously, Romanian, but mostly we spoke Hungarian at home, and then the preschool that I was sent to was German.
That's interesting, because I know recently, during World War II, the Germans definitely took over, but then they left and the Russians took Hungary over, and so then all of a sudden you had to learn Russian, and it's really weird. Great. So how old were you when you got here?
I was six.
You were only six. So basically really are American.
Went right into first grade as soon as we got here.
Yeah. So when you're 6 years old, you really can only be American. It's almost like you're born here. I think you're young enough. I came to this country when I was 10, and I still feel like this is my home. Because up until 10 years old, it's more the home life. And then when you get it to be a little bit 10, 12, then you go out and you learn only the American way. You don't really know what it's like to be Hungarian.
That's right. Yep. Everything around me outside of the house was all English. So, and even with the dialect and the way you speak, I think it's only after you're about 14 or 15 years old when you can't lose the original accent. Before then, it's not an issue.
I don't know. It depends on the person, because I've met people that came here when they were 12 and they still have an accent, and I've met people that came at 16 and they do really well. I think it's how badly you want to adopt, and it's a personal thing.
True.
But I'm shocked sometimes when I see, But you sound like an American, so you haven't retained your accent. I wonder what you sound like when you speak Hungarian. That must sound American.
Probably like a New Yorker that's trying to speak Hungarian. I actually moved back there in 1996 for some time, and it took me a couple of weeks to really pick up the local dialect in Budapest. And at first it was pretty difficult because everybody was speaking so fast, and I said, it was at least a week or two before I could really understand what people were saying. After that, it felt right in place.
That's very interesting. Yeah, we can talk about that for 3 hours, too, because I have so much experience with that and with my name that they didn't bother changing and they spelled it wrong. Like your name, too, Z-S. I mean, what were they thinking? It could have spelled it so many different ways, but that's what they chose. But anyway, so COO smoke alarm monitoring. From everything that I looked at, that what you do, it looks like monitoring is really your thing. Am I right?
Yes, and I'll give you just a very simple example of the importance of monitoring. If you take the typical smoke detector, all it does is really beep. It beeps, it beeps, it beeps, and if there's nobody there to hear it, is it doing anything at all? No. So if we have pets that are home alone, yeah, it's just making noise. And if nobody could take an action based on that noise, then it's not doing anything. Mm-hmm. And our pets are one of those people in our homes, one of those entities that they can't do anything based on just noise. They're like toddlers. They can't pick up the phone and dial 911. They can't get out of the house. So that noise really just scares them. When you take monitoring and you attach it to any device within the home, now a third party could react for them, whether it's our elderly grandparents that might be in the house and they can't react fast enough, or maybe a member of the family that is deaf or blind, or our kids, or even us when we're sleeping, and we might not wake up until that beeping really goes on for about a minute or two. And we all know with smoke, it eventually turns to fire. So the fastest that you can respond to one of these alerts, the less damage there will be. So with our systems, everything is monitored. So if the smoke detector goes off, our system will automatically send out text messages to everybody that is connected to that home. We start placing phone calls. And if we can't reach the homeowner or even their neighbor, if they want to put them on the list, then we will instantly send out the fire department. And that way the response time is seconds, and there might be a little smoke damage, but you didn't lose your pets, your family, your property. And that's the real value of that monitoring. And insurance companies know that. That's why they give you discounts for having these types of systems in place.
Right, because they know that that makes it less likely for your place to burn down.
Exactly, and they don't have to pay out as much. So they're going to save a lot of money for every client that has a monitored burglar alarm system, smoke detector, flood sensors, all of those things.
So what is COO smoke alarm? What's the COO stand for?
That's just my position. I'm the chief operating officer.
COO smoke alarm monitoring. Oh, I thought it had to do with the smoke alarm.
No, so you have different types of detectors. You have a CO detector, which is carbon monoxide. Then you have the regular smoke detector, which is a photoelectric, and that's the type of smoke detector it is. If you'd like, I could tell you the difference of what they used to use many years back, and there's still a few in place, and the new technology that's available today.
Yeah, for sure. I want to hear about it.
Okay, so let's go back 20, 30 years, and you have about 100 million homes in the United States that were built using ionization-based smoke detectors. So these are smoke detectors that detect smoke. They do work. Unfortunately, the technology, the way it's set up, it almost detects the smoke once there's fire instead of the initial smoke that starts, when you have smoldering effects. And the problem with that is by the time those smoke detectors go off, you already have a fire. It's 20, 30 minutes down the line. And especially with our pets, many of them don't die because of the fire. They die because of smoke inhalation. So by the time those old ionization-based smoke detectors go off, you already have a lot of smoke in that home. And the reason that many contractors used the ionization-based units were because they were about $5 less than the photoelectric ones, which are much more sensitive, and they use light instead of these tiny little radioactive particles that are used inside of the ionization-based smoke detectors. So it is very important to know what's in your home, and also to understand that these ionization-based units are not going to be around for much longer. So when you're recommended to change out your smoke detectors every single 10 years, it's very important that you do choose the photoelectric smoke detectors that are now available in any store that's out there. If you choose to go with a monitored one, we actually have the only one on the market. We have the patent on this, where it is battery powered, but it's also remotely monitored through cellular networks. And the reason we did that is because some of our competitors, they have battery powered smoke detectors, and then they connect to the home's Wi-Fi. The problem with that is if it's an electrical fire, the Wi-Fi goes out at the same time. So the power goes out, Wi-Fi goes out, and all of those systems are useless. With our smoke detector, it is completely independent of the home's power or internet. So all you have to do is peel it, stick it to the ceiling. You don't even have to drill a hole. And if that detects smoke, it sends a signal through the cellular networks to our central station monitoring center. And that's when we start sending out the text messages, the phone calls, and then dispatching the fire department if we can't reach anybody. Because, yes, people do burn toast. So when we call them, they say it's a false alarm, not a big deal. But if we can't reach them, we will dispatch the fire department.
I kind of felt like you were reading my mind, because the question that I was going to ask you is, how do you prevent false alarms? And as I'm thinking about it, you're actually answering it. So what you're saying is, you don't just call the police. If I come and you provide service to my house, I'm not going to have the police show up in my house every time I burn my meals, which is a lot.
No, they will always call you first, and you could just tell them, nope, we burnt the toast, we're cooking, or it's a false alarm, whatever the issue is. The only time we dispatch is if we can't reach anybody, or if they tell us, yes, it is a fire, and then we could instantly dispatch it.
Great. So what you're saying is, let me see if I got it right. The old smoke detectors that they used to use are ionization-based. I'm not sure what that means, but that means really that the smoke detectors don't go off until much later when the house is practically on fire. So obviously,
exactly.
That's not so great. And then the other smoke detectors that you can get on the market are photoelectric smoke detectors, which detect the smoke a little bit sooner. But at the end of the day, they just make a lot of noise and very annoying. But if nobody is there to hear it or to take action, then they're just as useless as the ionization. And then the ones you use is actually battery operated. So it's not photoelectric smoke detectors?
It's a battery-operated photoelectric smoke detector that is also remotely monitored. So you don't have to have somebody come out and install it. You don't have to have people wire your house. It's the most affordable way to get the full-blown monitored protection without spending a whole lot of money, signing long-term contracts, all of the things you would have to do to get monitored smoke protection.
Okay, so basically you do have the same smoke detectors, which is photoelectric, but you also have the cellular monitoring so that that's like somebody actually paying attention of when the smoke detector goes off.
Correct.
Right, because not too long ago, I think it was last year, a house burned down on Bedford Avenue, which is not too far from me. Everybody in there was killed. I think there was like 6 or 7 children, and the mother and were killed. And the mother and the daughter jumped out of the window, and they survived. And it was such a catastrophe. And one of the big problems was that the smoke detectors didn't go off.
Sure. And if you look at the statistics, they're horrible. I think the number is about 70% of smoke detectors in homes might not even be operating because people will either not change out the battery once it starts beeping, letting them know that the battery's running low, or they never updated their smoke detectors and they might be 15, 20 years old. So it's very important to test your smoke detectors and make sure you replace them every 10 years.
Yeah, I mean, what's the point of having one if you're not going to make sure it's operative after 10 years? You should really think about that.
Well, you know what? With the way we look at it, most consumers, they will buy things that they want, but rarely things that we need. So, you know, you could tell somebody all day long that here's what you need, here's what you need, here's what you need, and then they see something they want, and many times they'll even spend money they can't afford to get that thing, that material thing. Well, these smoke detectors, you need them. They will save your lives. And what you just said is very important. You had a mother with several kids. They were all young people. They were probably in good shape, so it's not like they were stuck in that house. What happens is you could have the fire that starts in the basement, and then they're sleeping up on the second or third floor. By the time they hear the beeping and they wake up, it's too late. So for us to be able to monitor that and instantly get alerted when there's smoke in the basement and then be able to start calling the house, the neighbors, the cell phones, that's where there's a lot more value to monitoring because we could take minutes off of the response time and get people out of the house.
Right. So the monitoring that you do you charge a monthly fee for it?
Yes. So it's very affordable. It's only $14.95 per month for 24-hour protection. And the big benefit here are the insurance companies. They understand that they will pay less in claims if somebody has a monitored smoke detector. So they will usually offer a discount on your premium for having a monitored smoke detector. So that $14.95 a month works out to be about $180 per year. Well, the average homeowner's insurance in the country is about $1,200. So if they could get 10% off of their homeowner's insurance, and that discount varies. It's usually between 5 and 10%. We've seen some companies offer as high as 15%. But if you're getting 10% off, you're saving about $130, $140 per year. You subtract that from the $180 it costs to monitor the system. Now it's costing you $40 per year, not per month, per year, to have this 24-hour protection. And if you break that down, you're talking about $3, $4 per month. That's a cup of coffee.
Not even these days. I think a cup of coffee is even more expensive than that.
Yeah, it depends where you drink your coffee. That could be a lot less.
Right. So basically, the idea is to make sure that if you have pets or people that cannot respond, that everything is taken care of. If you really gone, you don't have to worry about anything because you guys are constantly looking over 24/7. If there is an alert somewhere, there's always somebody there listening. And the fact that you get an insurance discount. And I think those are the three main reasons why anybody in the right mind, especially if you have your own home, would want to do that. But even if you're in an apartment, I mean, think about your little apartment and something happens, it's still, you don't want your pet to get caught in that kind of a situation.
And that's also where you have a lot of real value in our program because it doesn't have to be wired. It doesn't have, you don't
right.
have to start drilling holes in the ceiling and cutting things apart. If you're a renter, all you do is take this out of the box. You don't even drill holes. You just peel the backing off. It has double-sided tape that's very strong. You hold it up to the ceiling for 15 seconds, and that's the extent of the installation. It's done. At that point, all you do is power it up, you test it, and the unit checks into our servers on a consistent basis, letting us know that it's there, it's healthy, it's working, there are no issues. And people can also test it every single month. All they do is hold down the button, and they will get a text message, an email, and a robocall instantly letting them know that the unit is connected, and if it was an emergency, an operator would be calling them instead of a robocall.
Yeah, that really is important. So if somebody wants more information from you or wants to check out the product, where do they go?
They can go to www.smokealarmmonitoring.com.
Okay.
That's our main website.
There you go.
And I'm sorry?
And then they get all the stuff. I have the website right here. Anything or any other questions that you have, you can go to the website. You have the actual cellular connectivity. You show everything exactly what it looks like and what it does. We even have a little video here if somebody wants to see it. And really, that's all you need. So it's smoke alarm monitoring, exactly the way it sounds, except all one big word. .com.
Yes, and there's a great video on that website. It's about 6 minutes long, and it really shows the difference between the old ionization-based smoke detectors and the new photoelectric ones. And these are little clips from all over the country, from fire marshals and from consumers and experts, that really warn people on how dangerous it is not to update the smoke detectors that are out there now. Because, you know, if you only get an alert a half hour after things start smoking, you're in deep trouble.
And that is exactly why we have you here on City Talk, because it is very important to know that your house is being monitored, especially if you're like me, that you leave home on a very frequent basis. There's somebody that's not able to handle emergencies. And even if you do have somebody that's handling emergencies, are they going to handle it properly? And all those questions, you can just forget about it and relax. So that's a really powerful thing. So thank you so much for bringing that product. But before I let you go, there is something that I mentioned before that I need to have clarified, and that's the Forex market makers that I mentioned that you work for them, and I think I'm wrong about thinking that it's internet money. It's not like the money that you mine on the internet. It is foreign exchange money.
That's
like
what
people
it
make money
for,
from
correct.
Exchange.
Yep, Forex so is foreign exchange.
Oh, okay. Oh, for exchange. Got it. So basically you take money from one country and you exchange it to another country to make money in the exchange. Is that the idea?
Yes. Yeah, so, you know, back in the early 2000s, there were money managers, and still today, foreign exchange is a huge marketplace where you can exchange currencies and then bet on which direction they will go. So if you buy Swiss francs, for example, or the euro or any other currencies with your U.S. dollar, and then the value of the dollar goes higher or lower, you could benefit from that exchange. So you could buy it today at one rate and then sell it back a few days later at a higher or a lower rate, depending on what side of the market you took. So it was just a short-term investment strategy for many of these money managers. And what we did was build a platform to make it easier for money managers to be able to handle all of those transactions for their clients and not spend a lot of time on the accounting part of it, but more on the investing side and knowing when to get in and out of the markets.
Yeah, that sounds good. I understand it's a quick moneymaker. It's not something you want to do long-term investment on.
Yeah, sometimes traders go in for a few minutes at a time. Others will go in for the very long term, assuming that they're buying, you know, with the intention of holding that currency possibly for manufacturing. So if they're buying equipment from a specific country and they want to benefit from that country's currency because it's much more steady, or they think that they'll be able to reduce their costs, then they step in for longer terms versus the quick day trades. It's not really the market that the average individual will invest in. These are big banks and, you know, much larger players that go in for the arbitrage, for the quick movements in that market.
Very interesting. It's an interesting background that you have in all kinds of different fields, and then eventually you come down to the monitoring, which is also got so much potential and so much different avenues to go. So thank you so much for joining us today, and thank you so much for bringing it to us today. What I'm going to do, I'm going to put the link to your website right in the description. So if anybody is watching and listening to this on the internet, there's going to be a slide, and on the description, right under the pictures, is going to be a link to this website if you're interested in checking it out further. Do you guys have a contract or some kind of commitment if somebody comes with you, or they can just try it for a month if they want to?
There are no contracts at all. It's all month to month. And we even set up a discount for your listeners. So if they use the promotional code RADIO, R-A-D-I-O, at checkout, they'll get 50% off the cost of the smoke detector.
Oh, that's great. So when you check out, put in R-A-D-I-O, radio, and just for listening and enjoying the show, you're going to get a discount, which is great. A few dollars in your pocket, right? That's great. So go ahead and check it out. The website, again, is smokealarmmonitoring.com. Very simple. You really can't forget it, but you will get a link directly to it, so you don't even have to type it out. Can I make it any easier than that, Zol?
That's it. Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate that. Have a wonderful day.
You too. Bye-bye.
And now we've come to the end of our show here together on Sippy Talk. We're looking forward to hear more about Zolt and the company and where it's going from here. Hope you guys give it a try. It's been a great pleasure speaking with you, Zolt. Thank you so much for joining us. Don't forget, we want your story. We're here to listen to your story and share your gift. It could be any story. It does not have to be super inspirational. You don't really decide how interesting it is, because most people don't really realize how interesting their own story is. Because here on Tippy Talk, we know that your story is special and we want to hear it. You've been listening to Tippy Talk. My name is Tippy Felsenstein. We bid you a magical journey and let your talent be your potion.
Flying high like a bird with your aviators, but your heart is